The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Aineen Launa, biologist, environmentalist, broadcaster, author, joins us now. She's in the process of completing her latest book. And if it is in the vein of the previous ones, it'll be well worth the purchase. But the one that she's working at is looking at Wild Dublin. In other words, the animals that are in our urban setting rather than out in the rural world. Aineen, how are you?
Yeah, the four-legged ones, Anton, they're the ones I'm looking at.
Now, the last time I talked to you, as you left the studio, I can't remember what brought us onto this, you made a point that has lingered with me, which is there are more foxes in Dublin than there are in rural Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, per square, you know, the density is greater, maybe if you added them all up. But, I mean, you meet more foxes, much more density living in Dublin, because there's more food for them and there's more places for them to live, and people feed them. Down the country, people don't feed them. They hate them and they don't want them there at all, because they can predate their lambs, they can predate their chickens, so they're not fond of them at all. But in Dublin, so lots of people love foxes and feed them, which is madness. But there you go. And we have more foxes in the density of Dublin. And I'm sure if you're out at all after dark, you'll see a fox. The milkman sees them, the paperman sees them, yeah.
What's wrong with feeding a fox?
It's a wild animal. You don't feed a fox. That's interfering with it. You don't feed foxes because you're increasing them. I mean, the reason why you don't have heaps and heaps and heaps of anything is because they have more, they run out of food, they run out of places to stay, to live, to have, you know, this kind of thing. I mean, if every bird, if every everything that was born was given food and lived, I mean, we'd be overcome with robins, we'd be overcome with anything. So, I mean, you should leave them to their own devices. That's what evolution is for.
Hang on a minute, Aineen. What's wrong with me hanging out a bird feeder or putting out a small saucer of milk and some bread for a hedgehog when they are having enough troubles getting by anyway? All I'm doing is helping my local hedgehog or my local sparrow. How can
Don't
you criticise?
Tell me, no, I'm sitting there and I'm covered in shock. Don't tell me that you are putting out bread and milk for hedgehogs. That's the worst thing in the world. You're giving them diarrhea. You're trying to kill them. If you want to kill the hedgehogs, go straight ahead. Hedgehogs do not and cannot digest and eat. They cannot eat milk. They cannot cow's milk. They cannot eat bread. If you must feed the hedgehogs, you must use dog food, something meaty, something that would be a tin of meat, something of that order. They're carnivores. They live on slugs and snails and worms and earwigs and things like this. They do not eat bread and milk, no matter what Enid Blyton says. I keep telling you, don't be getting your science out of storybooks, Mrs. Tiggy Winkle and bread and milk. This is complete rubbish. So that's what I mean. Feed the foxes all sorts of rubbish they shouldn't be eating either. Should they be even feeding the deer in the Phoenix Park? And they're given the deer in the Phoenix Park diseases by going near them and communicating with them. And a woman, in fact, somewhere in Dublin wrote to me and said the fox won't eat the stuff she gives them unless there's ham in the sandwiches and mustard on the ham. It turns up his nose at it. So then this is a ridiculous way of going on. Leave them to their own devices. That's their wild.
Now, hang on a minute. Do the deer in the Phoenix Park count as real deer? Because they're not there on their own accord. They're not a wild herd. They didn't occur naturally. They were put there.
They were put there by the Viceregals way back in the 1600s, and they have descended from them. It was a deer pack. So all the deer in Ireland are invasive species, except for the red deer down in Killarney. Everything else, the other lot, were brought in by Lord Powers Court and went into the wild. They have become naturalised. So the deer in the Phoenix Park are managed. And, you know, instead of having wolves, we have a management team from UCD making sure that they don't overreach their carrying capacity in the park. But yes, I mean, they originally came by being put there as a hunting park. That's true. Same as the ones in Mallow and other places like that. That's the way they are. But that doesn't mean, I mean, they're wild in the sense that they look after themselves. They give birth themselves. They don't have vets. They're not like pets and that, like farm animals in that respect. And by giving them crisps and by giving them sweets and carrots and all that sort of rubbish is bad for them, and it's making them ill. I mean, that was part of the work I was doing for this book, Wild Dublin. I spoke to the people in UCD doing the research on the deer, and they were saying that, you know, the deer, their health has been... It's been harmed by people trying to get selfies beside them. They've been interrupted. They don't want people near them. They have to rush away into the woods and things like this. And the people are not meant to do this. So, I mean, just because I write a book about the wildlife in Dublin doesn't mean I want you all to go off and start petting them or anything like that. But there is an amazing amount of wildlife inside the M1, inside the M50, when you consider that there's a million people living there as well.
Why did the deer never leave?
Well, I mean, to say, which, if you go onto the Chesterfield Avenue, never mind the main road, you'd be killed stone dead by maniacs and cars.
Yeah, but the deer doesn't know that. A deer isn't bright enough to know that it's going to be difficult to navigate Park 8 Street. How come none of them ever wander down to Houston Station for the crack?
Because, I mean, they have all they want in the park. All they want is, I mean, they're not like humans. All they want is something to eat, something to drink, and a bit of the other when they need it. That's all. They don't need to be walking down the footpath looking for the crack or going to the pub or trying to get a train to Cork or anything like that.
What about newts then? I believe we have newts and I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah, we do have newts. The newts are amphibians. So the amphibians are the stuff that are able to take oxygen through their lungs and also through their skin, so they can take air in two different, or take oxygen in two different ways. So we have frogs and we have the newts and we have the toads. So there are amphibians. So the newts are like tiny little lizards for all the world, but smaller than a lizard. They have a soft skin, not like the lizard scaly skin, and they live in water. And there's some of the ponds in the Phoenix Park have newts in them. The parks and airfields, the ponds and airfields in Dundrum have them there as well. And you get them around the country in bog pools and things like that. You just have to get out more and go and look for them.
What's the difference between a frog and what's the difference between a frog and a toad?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, if I brought in one of those items and put it on the ground and gave it a poke, what would it do?
Hang on, if you brought in one of those what?
Items. I mean, you
a frog or a toad?
A frog and a toad. If I bring in this thing, could be a frog, could be a toad, and I put it on the ground in front of you and I give it a poke, what will it do?
I take offence, move, jump, croak?
Jump, yeah, but you see, this is the thing, jump. I mean, if it jumps, it's a frog. If it doesn't jump, it's a toad. Toads can't jump.
Does that make them not sitting ducks, to mix a metaphor for predators?
Well, I mean, the toads we have in Ireland are the Kerry toads, the Natterjack toads down in Castle Gregory. And of course, being Kerry toads, they don't walk, they run. So they run around the place and they're in the ponds and that's what it is. But I mean, it's not the jumping. I mean, they can move fairly smartly, don't have to necessarily jump. And with the common toad that we have in Britain and continental Europe, that one doesn't hop. I remember camping in France once, and when we took down the tent, there was two very cross-looking yokes underneath, and they walked away most disgustedly. And my small son said to me, "You big fat lump, mammy, you squished the poor frog and he can't hop." And I said, "Excuse me, son, that is a toad. It can't hop. I didn't squish it. How dare you?" So that's it. But some people have introduced toads into Dublin now, and we see these common toads around Steppeside, around that area, and they walk across the road, they don't hop.
Aina, I have to say, I love your commitment to your craft, that it is so great that when your son calls you a big fat lump while misidentifying a toad, what you focus on is that he misidentified the toad, not that he insulted his mother.
Well, I mean, if you're going to take offence at everything your child says to you, there, come on. Have you not got kids yourself? Surely your skin is a bit tougher than that.
I should say that you are currently in Dingle. You are doing a bit of work down there. What is it you are doing?
I'm down here for Fela in the Balsam. May is a great month. And a lot of places around the country have different sorts of Felas or festivals. Sometimes they're for older people. Sometimes they're creative festivals, heritage festivals, whatever. So Kellyra in the Balsam down here in Dingle is celebrating our heritage. So there's lots of singing and choral with music and art and stuff, and I'm now an author, you see, I can sneak in under that category, and I'm here talking then about my biography book. I'm doing a big talk in the town park today at 1:30 until 4:00, and people come and we'll be talking about this, and I'll be showing them the stuff in the book, and I'm supposed to be reading to them, but they can all read themselves. I'll just talk to them about the different wildlife stuff that's in the book and tell them about that. And that's what I'm doing here. And then on Tuesday, I'm up in Donegal, where they have in the library in Greedore, they have a fela there for older people. So I'm talking to the people in Greedore as well about stuff and things like that as well, too, biodiversity. So it's a great time of year to get out and about. So that's where I am. But of course, tonight or tomorrow morning at 4:30, I'll have to get up and see what the birds in Dingle are doing, because the dawn chorus is being recorded by Derek, as you know, for the radio programme on Saturday and Sunday night. Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I'm sure they're all singing down here in Irish, probably, in a Kerry accent.
Well, if you are around the Dingle area today, or if you're in Gweedore on Tuesday, can I strongly recommend that you find Aina and ask her uninformed questions about wildlife, because her frustration in person is really something to witness. Aina, thank you so much for coming on. Aina Nealand,
I'm sure that's a compliment.
Oh, it is. Totally is.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.